Hello everyone, this is the Red News Fanzine Podcast. Thank you all for listening, and thank you all for buying the mag. And if you don't buy the mag, buy the mag. But if you want to support us a little bit more, we also have a Patreon that you can sign up to, and it's patreon.com/rednews. Now, here's the podcast. Goodbye.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 313, and it's the 30th of August, Nick, and we're playing Ipswich. And his first words, we're back, are, he came up to me and Nathan waiting for him and he was late, and he went, oh, my hip really, really hurts. Why does it hurt? From tennis. The most Nick statement to start a season. I don't know if that bodes well or not. Right, get the main thing out of the room. We've just come for a quick pint because I've not seen the lads. And then we can see outside Old Trafford is a big billboard, you know, with them advertising the new kit, the new third kit with Salford Lads Club. And it's like, you know, I'll always love this. I can't stop going, you know that, from an addict. But it's like, I just thought the irony where you're not inviting lads in, you're not inviting anyone from Salford in, but you're utilising it as someone makes a point. Nathan's made that point. You know, so what United have done is absolutely atrocious. And it's unforgivable. I think, you know, we put on our tinfoil, but is it tinfoil? Because I think, is it deliberate? Because if they know, say, me and Eddie sit next to each other, pay our 45, we don't partake in the megastore and all that. That if they know that for 10 games next season they could sell those tickets, 10 of those games for £200 at least a pop, then there's a bean counter who's going to go, we want rid of you. And the sad conclusion is people have spent their summer months worrying about can they go to their football club, not the suits, you know. Not these people making the decisions. It's the football club of the people who they are shafting. And yes, we all want genuine touts targeted, but they've hit a hammer to crack a nut. And it is shameful that at not any stage do United ever give their own heads a wobble like we should all do in life and go, reflect, pause, read the room. And they don't do any of those things. They get more entrenched. And it's systematic. We've seen it loads and loads of times over loads and loads of different things. But that there should be people, because there are decent people who work at the club, who go, hang on, what are we doing here? Because, yeah, you may be the ultimate achievement is to Jim's mega bowl and what he wants it full of. But in the meantime, what has happened to the bread and butter support is just disgraceful. And yeah, we'll call it out. And then that ends up as United fans round with each other, which doesn't do the answer. You know, there's talk that there might be crown funding. I know someone's setting up a petition to the government this week. But ultimately, the football club is responsible for how we're not to blame for how the football club acts. And they should. You know, they had so much goodwill. We've qualified for the Champions League. We're all excited. I got excited watching a bizarre draw and how they do it. And they should be fostering that goodwill. Instead, it festers and you just think, you blow it. We all want to win today. You know, nothing makes me happy. I'm seeing my mates and I'm watching Manchester United. But they make it so difficult. And there will be so many good people, like the Irish branch, Portadown, who aren't here today. And it's not any of our faults. It's theirs. But the people who could change things, you know, to stop us all having the sleepless nights. Me and Nick talking about, did you get direct debited twice, you know, in a day? Because if you didn't, you've got 48 hours to get your automatic cup scheme. And it's like, you don't need to make all these things complicated. And in their own words, they said digital would make it all easier and safer. It's less safe, it's less easier, and you're coming at us. Now, I read the mag. We have got, me personally, I've got 5 years left here. That's maximum if they don't target me before then. The Mega Bowl won't be for me. I know that they want us out, and they know that we know. So it leads an unedifying mess. And on the first day of the season, we've got to win it. But it shouldn't be this literal, metaphysical, analogical fucking dark cloud above us. Hello, Nick.
Hello, yeah. Well, don't talk about dark clouds just yet.
No, that's what I mean.
It could be a sore subject. Yeah, I mean, you're right, aren't you? I think if you look at what the Portadown branch was putting out yesterday on Twitter, I actually couldn't finish the statement because it was just just a bit too close to the bone where you think, how long is it going to be before it's you? And that's all I keep thinking about. Like you say, we probably, I wonder if we've even got as many as 5 years left. I genuinely think with the way that it's going that we might maybe only be looking at 2 or 3 years before we either can't afford to go and get priced out or whatever it would be. And I think that it's coming.
How sad is that?
It's ridiculous. Like we say yesterday, I was looking at my account thinking, I understand why I've got 2 direct debits so in the same day. I don't think that's ever happened before. But, you know, it's just, like I say, it's one thing after another with it being security. We've had the issue with people being accessing other people's tickets and stuff like that. And it's just not very exciting, is it? It's the first game of the season. You're in shorts.
I'm in shorts, second time ever.
You know, and you should have this new buzz about you, but to go into the new season just feeling a bit flat. And that's not because we got beat last week or people say that we've had a bad transfer window or whatever it is that we've coming out with.
But
it's nothing to do with that, because to be honest with you, I couldn't give a toss about the transfer window. I thought we've actually done all right in it. But it's just this whole, like you say, big black cloud that's sort of hanging over everything at the moment that just makes me feel a bit sad about coming here today. And you're kind of looking around thinking, oh, I wonder if I've got a lad, Steve, who sits 4 seats down from me. I know it's like, I haven't seen him since, I don't know if he's going to even be here next season, because he's been moaning that he's been targeted or something. So it's kind of stuff like that today where I'm intrigued to see who's actually going to be here, who we can see and what community that we're going to have left. And
but that's it, you do once and see there's loads more, and you feel it's by design that you won't see. And it's got to the point where, you know, I've got someone's forwarded me a Fulham, legit, obviously. But it's like, I don't know if I, who want to see my football team play, can post an innocent request to say, you know, Fulham away, I'm after, at face, obviously. I don't know if that would get me a ban anymore. No, I'm being genuinely, I didn't post. I was desperate for a Fulham. But I don't know that something so innocuous as wanting to see your team could lead you to a ban now. And it's like, at what point, we know how it's led to this, but at what point is no one going, we're in an age where supposedly PR and how you present yourself, you know, is massive. And we've got a club who's literally like got the fucking forks pointing us out of the Red Devil going, fuck off, go away, go away. It's like, well, how? I just want to see Manchester United play. You know, I'll see them if they're shit, I'll see them if they're good. But you're pushing us away, innit? Hello, Nathan.
Well, this is a cheery start to the season. No, I agree. Firstly, thanks for stealing my thunder with what I said exactly. Like,
sorry.
When that, obviously, I'm from Salford, you know. I'm from around the corner, and like when you sit, every year they do it, don't they? It's like it'll be an advert for a new kit, and it'll be, they'll have some overly mank bloke speaking on it, doing a shit poem about how important Manchester United is to the local area, blah blah blah. But like you've stolen my thunder by saying, is they're just using that because me as a sort like from here. I'd be very interested in the people who are actually from the area, I think, see straight through that. Because we know that it's bollocks. But the people who live on the other side of the world or elsewhere, like, they'll buy it because they know no different. And I've got no problem with having a global fan base. They need that to be the size they are. And that, you know, I'm not criticising that at all. What I'm criticising is the fact that they do jump on this whole thing about it being a local thing, and it's all, you know, it's all like a big family and blah blah blah, and we're all actually, it's all the Salford lads, blah blah blah. It's not. And the people that are actually from here know that that's bollocks, but the club don't care about that.
It's just, you know, like, we can't just spend the podcast, because everyone would switch off in a sea of gloom, you know. I can't just use the whole of the month, but you feel like we're there, so we will, and it is, you know. But it's like, it is in football, it's a weird sporting environment. A lot of clubs really dislike their bread and butter fans. That's just always happened. It's the weirdest phenomenon that you could say the people who will go the most, travel the most, spend the most in terms of body and time and actual effort, will be the ones that are persecuted and feel this. And I put in the editorial, please, by the mate, thank you so much for getting us here right now for our 40th season. I really, like, get tearful thinking that you've got us to this point. But it's like, what a weird, weird environment that they place us in. You know, like, that you could really go with this. And someone posted a fake quote, and I hate, that's a hate of the week, all those fake, shitty, made-up quotes that are so see-throughable, but about Jim Ratcliffe saying, you know, basically shitting himself. You know, look at him when the Champions League draws, mate. And I thought, no, he's thinking Bayern Munich at home, ker-fucking-ching. You know, he's only gutted that it's January and it's not, like, September where the weather would be nice. But it's like, my club feels like a bully. And I hate bullies, and I don't know what the answer is, because we'll all fall out with each other about it, but we all see our end point, you know, that's and like someone, we were talking about this at Euston this morning, they said, well, it'll be until the bubble bursts, and the sad reality is, I don't think from the World Cup that the bubble's going to burst. I don't think it'll ever burst. I think we're on a train ride now. And you'll see in my editorial again, sorry to keep referencing, but all these people who are getting into bed with Infantino reckon because of the rise of AI, which I fucking hate, it says that people will go more to live sports because it's a real actual thing to do. You know, like, how sad is that? The thing that we're fighting against, really. And someone, not a reader, but went, oh, do you use AI to write your editorials nowadays? Have you read the shit in my editorials? No computer could fucking come up with that. How dare you?
Well, I think the prime example is here. I mean, we don't usually come to hotel football before to have a pint, but obviously it's where we're selling and it makes sense. It's the closest place, especially with a load of boxes. I mean, if you did a stock taking here right now, I'd be very interested to see how many people either season ticket holders or locals or anything like that. And again, like Nathan said, it's not a knock. I'm really proud of the fan base that we do. But you talk about hates of the week. Mine yesterday was a Leeds fan on Twitter that was moaning, saying that they think that every single football club in England that's in the top two leagues should do away with season ticket holders and do ballot for every single home game. And the traction that got online was frightening yesterday. And that's the way where I thought, I sat there, I didn't do it, I don't usually put anything on Twitter, but I was looking at it thinking, do you know what? It's scary because I can see that being the way that it goes.
But so we already why know, through toeing the waters research, and they wouldn't answer the question, is the season ticket holders are being reduced in numbers. So we know where that's where it's headed.
It'd be like when you get on an airline, and they'd be like, right, you can bid on an upgrade. And you're like, right, you can put in a bid of £200 and see if you get that upgrade to first class. That's what it'll be like here one day, won't it? I can see it now. Like, right, you put in how much you would pay to see Manchester United, and the top 100,000 people will get a ticket for it. Bam, your account gets debited, and there's your ticket. I can see it being something like
that. I said that the other
week. And it's like, even if people bid £1, maybe sometimes when they're playing Brighton at home in the League Cup, they might get a ticket. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that being the way that it goes.
But who, and we know they will, who's paying £5,000 for a derby ticket for a meal and a beer? People are. But who the fuck is paying £5,000
companies
to sit behind the dugout? And the second thing is, we've not started selling yet, but we already saw it, wasn't it? Was it Derby Day last year, which was the most we've ever seen selling in terms of hospitality? We are going to see a massive sea change now because we start 3 hours before a game. We are really seeing today, and it'll be because I've got a rush, what you two say afterwards about that. Like what I said the other week about disentanglement, though, because I know it's coming to the end, I'll always love United, that I don't want to be the wreck at the end of it. So I'm almost like, if this is how you treat me, I'll always fight for readers, the fans in the community. But I'm emotionally separating myself already, not from the team, because I've always separated the team and the club, but I'm like almost like we will shake hands in 4 or 5 years and go, okay, thanks for a lifetime, thanks for that, but you did nothing. You know, the suit, I've never liked any of the suits. Let's go, you know, and the people who said Jim was our saviour, oh, don't get me started on that, you know, like, but it's callous. It's the worst type that words, you know. I think we can all be dickheads after a few pints, but we're fundamentally okay people. or before, he's just said about names. But like the worst type of words you could say about you can use for your own football club, which doesn't use football club anymore.
Can we talk about something else?
Yeah, we are. But I mean, it wouldn't take much. It would. I've maintained this for years on this pod. It wouldn't take much from people inside that club to listen. To sometimes U-turn, like, you know, they've done that enough times. Like, to properly go, how do we repair? Start repair, rebuild. It won't be with me, you know, like, we're on the outside, but I'm not talking the fans for them, because you know my view, I think they should walk out of a meeting. And that's not to, what's the word, denigrate what the efforts that they've got on individual cases to get people back here. But the fact that it's the fans forum people spending hours and hours to claw back season ticket holders that the club callously removed in AI-led emails. It's just like a nightmare fucking HP Lovecraft story.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, there's going to be some little fan park thing now, isn't it? And again, that's not going to be for the people who come every... I can't imagine there's going to be many season ticket holders who are going to go and sit in a tent outside the ground.
I think there might be a few, because Robbo's doing it, and I think a lot of people would like to go and see Brian Robson.
I'd like to pour at Robbo, but I think they don't want that fan zone type.
No, but every week?
Not every week, no, but I think the first couple of weeks, the fans are,
you can know how cringeworthy it will be.
Well, people will go down for a pint at first, won't they? And they'll make it look like it's a big success. Are they still opening up the international suite after the game?
No, I think
Did that get kiboshed? Yeah. Good, that pleases me. Yeah.
Right. Shall we, we'll get a pint in and then talk the football then. Has anyone else got anything to add? I've shared a journey up with 10 or 12 old Cockney Reds, some having cans at 8 o'clock. I love it. But you shouldn't have that, the feeling that the thing you love the most, you know, in terms of a football, treats you that way.
It's like, I know that, you know, it's... But I think that this sort of thing happens at all levels. Because, like, you know, obviously, like, I know it's very different, but I've been part of, like, the non-league scene as well for a while, haven't I? Yeah. And I've, like, sort of, not cut ties, but I'm not going out of my way to help that club anymore because the people who run that are dickheads and properly let the mask slip at the end of last season in terms of how they feel about the fan base that they've got. So it's like, you know, I know it's only 2 miles between the two grounds and worlds apart in terms of level and size, but the people who run it are just as much dickheads in terms of how they want to treat the fans for what they get. So,
yeah.
Sadly, I think it's just people in power.
We've seen also the way that they've treated the own staff. You know, a lot of United fans got rid of a year and a bit ago. You know, like, but the thing, they're not encouraging local kids in.
No.
So it's not at the expense of the old timers. But like, who in their right mind would go? You know, oh, they've been going 40, 50 years, let's treat them like shit. Who would invent that as a concept?
I can't remember if I said it the other month, and I feel like I didn't because I feel like I wish that I had. But when I went to that Napoli game the other month, and it was, you know, Napoli are a huge team, and, you know, especially in that city, they're the religion. And I go to that game, and it's just full of groups of teenagers just there on their own, and it's just like, this is what I imagine football was like in the good old days. Do you know what I mean? Like there'd be no chance that a group of like 12, 13 year olds could all turn up here today. That's where it should be.
It won't be today, but I'm 50 years next week going, and the conversation we had, was it May, you know, do you have any regrets? Never. I will never, even if they did like tomorrow say you're banned, I would never go, oh, well, you know, I regret. No chance. I've loved this life I've led. But it's like, again, you know, when you're so entwined with something and you think, you see this and you think, you know, like what I've tried to do, and if I haven't, please call me up on this, but old readers, I've tried to like send a little, you're all right. And people who haven't renewed, I've tried to sort them out with donated subs. Thanks to everyone who did that. But like, and this isn't, but I'm just saying, if we can do it as a fanzine, there's a lad who's probably listening, but you know, you're right. And he went, oh, like my pension. And I said, like, I'm just taking that away. You've got a sub now. But it wasn't about that. But I just, are you all right? Because I haven't seen you in a year, because you'd had enough, so you jacked in your season to go. I wanted to make sure that you're all right. And I just thought, well, they've sacked everyone, haven't they? Right, we better get, as I say, it's very hard. Like, it affects me. It takes it to heart. And I, like, how I feel about this club. So I get miserable. I feel miserable, and I don't want to do that. And I don't, it's hard to, like, you know, like, and then you get the odd abusive bit of DM, and it's like, not my fault, I haven't banned anyone, I'm trying my best, mate. You know, I've also got a family back home, so there's as much, you know, I'm trying to juggle my time, and it's like, yeah, God, you know, I don't know, I'm a bit waffling here, but yeah, so your mood shouldn't. And there's some people who come in today, and it's not a dig at them, who just totally in awe, that's what United, and it should be, you know, that visit. We won't care, won't even know about this, so maybe. But I don't know what the right way path is through this, Nick.
The one thing I've been thinking about over the past week, because I've been giving it a lot of thought since I got back from the holiday, is I think I look at me and Wazza now, and who people know as well, and I think we're the worst type of fan that United now could have. Like, there's people that are, you know, that might be, let's say, your age or older and stuff like that now, but at 37 I could theoretically be a season ticket holder for the next 30 years, and they're not taking on new ones anymore. It's like, I feel like we're almost just like this last generation of people that could be a season ticket holder and who can keep going every single week. You're now going to grow up with a fan base that is going to used to not being season ticket holders.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to get people that are used to going on a weekly basis, not weekly basis, like maybe going once a month. Maybe they get to go five times a season or something like that. And I think that's thing that's really sad.
But
there's not any new
But this has been coming, you know,
from the 90s,
from 95, from the sit down in K stand, you know, like the stewards taking control, the fans no longer really, you know, being in. Saying having a like sort of power, you know, if we ever had. But it's like the saddest aspect is the local fan base will just, I think that someone does articulate this very, it might be a letter, but since it's outside looking in, you know, like your actual local community is outside looking in. And I say that as a Cockney Red, but you know where I'm coming from. It's like, I don't know, really weird. And if you told a stranger, an alien, all this, you know, what you go there for 90 minutes and you're dealing with not, but they'd go like, well, you know,
the best example you can say is obviously about the Salford Lads Club and what they can say. But if you only have to look at some at Busby Way and you see the terraced houses that are on there that back onto the ground, and you think that is the representativeness of what,
yeah,
we are out of this area. And it's like, you look at them, it's like, people that live in those houses aren't going to be millionaires, are they? Do you know what I mean? And I just think that is literally, you can see it looking out the windows, yeah, of Old Trafford. You can see the houses that are there, and I just find it, it's just baffling, isn't it, really?
It's baffling. There's no one high up. We haven't spoken to anyone high up in 22 years. So they're not listening. So you're just shouting in an echo chamber. But it's like, if you were listening, pause, reflect, and the third party that you've got to run this debacle, get a third party in to just say, what the fuck are you doing to the people who pay you money? You know, like, what the fuck are you doing? Anyway, Mickey Flanagan, this is very cockney, Nick. Mickey Flanagan, I love him. I've seen him a few times, and I've seen him, if you can ever, I recommend this, see a comedian do their stand-up tour before the stand-up tour, like where they're practicing jokes. So some of it, they come on, I've seen Al Murray and I've seen Mickey Flanagan, and they go, some of this is going to be shit, but some of it will make it in. And then it's interesting seeing the tour, what makes it in. But I just had a glass of wine the other week and watched him, and he went, what is it, his mate caretaker Keith came up one day and he went, Mickey, you cannot ever educate a cunt. And he went, Keith has always been right. And I thought, that is it. You can't educate a cunt, can you? It got any hates of the week?
Well, other than the suits, which is a continuous one, not really. It's the start of the season and should be kind of optimistic, really, shouldn't we?
Right, so on to the football. My concern last week was how rusty we were, but hopefully it's, you know, I do, fucking hell, please don't let's have doom there. I do still think we'll be right. There's a lad who's written, and there might be another lad for the next mag, not this one, Brighton fan, who's really articulate article about Believer has given me a massive hard on. Fucking hell, we are getting a
you
well.
You are a Believer.
Oh, yes.
A Believer.
Oh, yes, sorry, Believer. You had a song about the bin bags for the rain.
It's not worth doing.
It's not, yeah. Isn't it? Was more of a TikTok, really, more than anything.
Okay.
I thought it'd be quite funny for that. It needs to be a visual.
It was very naive defending, and I didn't particularly like Carrick's interviews afterwards. He's very calm, he's very boring, but I really hope that he wasn't saying that in the dressing room, which was basically, what you know, we played well, it was just two moments, what do you mean we didn't have intensity? What, have you ever been a player? And it was like, no, come on, Michael, that was fucking abysmal, and we didn't have intensity. And Bernie, you know, like me and Nathan talked after the game, and then I've watched it twice, the highlights since, Christ. And it's like, I know,
yeah, but just sometimes,
right. I maintain, I think Bremer and Cunha are going to have good seasons. Cunha wasn't very good, but again, I don't think we played them in the right positions and roles. Our pressing was absolutely diabolical.
What is his best role?
Cunha? Well, I'd actually have him floating.
I don't know the answer to that.
Floating.
But Bruno does that.
Well, that's an issue then, isn't it? But then if you're going to have him out wide, I would never have him out and out up top, but that belies my... that we are desperate. We've got one fit number nine, and we've got to get someone who's going to hold up the ball, who's going to poke it in, who's going to... Sesko had a good header and that, but he's not fit, he's young. We need, and I would, you know, I said the Burnley lad, I would even like tempt Solanke, because obviously what's his face doesn't fancy him, someone who's just going to get you fucking 10-15 goals that'll make the difference from us treading water from last season or going backwards. The Champions League draw really did make me excited. There's a lot of anger about the transfer market. Go back 20 years on these, but you know, we are not at the table anymore. That, we know all this. You know, every fan who's got a brain knows all this, knows the ownership. We bang on about it continuously. That's why we haven't beat our own bid in 10 years like everyone else. So the market is mad. We're playing catch up. We're relying on buying maybes and what's left. And that's what it is. And you're going to look at everyone else and go, but what worried me in that terms of Chelsea's is not what I'm saying replicating, but you look at Chelsea's bench and it looked 10 times stronger than ours. And that's where I thought, like City, we didn't get away with wins at City and Arsenal and that last year. But, you know, are we going to do that again? Are we going to turn up? Are we bravado and steam alone going to get us through that? Because all these teams
that at the time.
Have got much better.
Yeah, no, but before that at the time, I actually really like this transfer window that we've done. I think it's been measured. I think that, you know, you've not been sat there being held to ransom to pay either top wages or...
We've got the midfield we wanted.
£100 million on players like Fernandes, no. Who's got relegated again with another... It's like, and you've seen how wonderful Spurs have started. You know, they've not scored a goal and been beat twice. So I think that the transfer window we've done is great. I did question Andre Santos a little bit, and I haven't been over enamoured by what I've seen him in pre-season and against Hull, but it's young and it's time. But I think that, you know, Tielemans for me is a slam dunk. I think that Belaga for £65 million seems like solid business. So, and you know, again, if we can try and ship out the likes of Xerxes, even though it's not good enough and stuff. The only downside is that Ugarte got injured and we couldn't get rid of him. So I actually think it's been a really, really good window again.
I wouldn't
you know.
Say really, really good. Because we needed...
We're desperate
for three midfielders, and we got the three midfielders. So I'm not going to argue about that. But it's scandalous. The left back, because it's not ideal, but we've got Dorgu, we've got Mazraoui to go in there. So we must get a left back. But sure did worry me last week.
I don't think we're getting a left back.
We've got to get a striker.
We've got to get a backup. You've got to get a replacement. And if we do, then this window's has been as good as anybody with a brain, like you said before, could have hoped for. So I'm pretty happy with it.
But
I think Tielemans is a great sign.
Yeah, I think Tielemans will be good. Santos is
an interesting one.
But what does piss me off a little bit is that the gerrymandering with transfers, that we remain a really bad selling club. We can't shift Xerxes. You know, we know all the reasons.
Then
like,
that's
Collier was 3 million. That, you know, like, you see some of the daft money.
Some
of these transfers with other clubs alludes to something going on. You know, how is Gakpo 85 million? How is what's his
good?
He's not 85. And how is, what is it, Marmoush, who went from City? Yeah, but you know, scored 11 goals in 2 years.
He's on loan.
This is a Premier League tax, though, that they're paying, aren't they?
And
that's
the problem. It's not
Elliot Anderson's not worth 120 million, but you've got to pay it. Moses Caicedo wasn't worth 115 million.
It's not that we're bad at selling, it's that we're bad at buying in the first place.
Yeah, no, that's a good, yeah.
Because we're buying players that aren't good enough and then aren't going to be worth any more to sell.
So this is why buying players like Baleba, for example, at 22, you've then still got the years on your side that even if he's shit in 3 years' time, you might be able to flog him for 40 million and you've got 2 years
wait
out of
him.
Even if you look at Tielemans, you know, everyone's moaning because he's, what, 28, 29. I'm thinking, if we've got him for 4 years and we could shift him at 32, 33 and sign for 10 million to a Saudi club for 2 years,
that would be
great business.
But that's,
you know,
there were concerns last week. I hope that we will iron them out. But everyone has really strengthened pretty much in that top half of the table.
But you do be saying that every year.
But
then
don't. More than most, I think. More than most.
I disagree with that because I look at Liverpool
on
side
very
Isaac.
Different.
Like, everyone thought they were going to go on and romp the league and they'd finish below us.
Yeah, no,
so
it doesn't equate. No, but I'm not talking about money spent. I'm just saying
about
that.
Okay. I think that we've been.
I think Chelsea will be very strong this year.
That we need to improve on. And I think our rivals have been looking at us thinking.
Who's our rivals this season, though?
Everybody in the league. All 20 teams are our rivals, by the way. We have no idea where we're going to finish.
Well, we're not
finishing first or second,
are we?
No, but I don't think we are, no. But I don't know if we're going to finish 15th again like we did the other year. Anything's possible with this Man United team. Every single team in the Premier League is your rival. We're not in that stage anymore where you're looking at
where you're going
Liverpool
in
and City and rivals. Because they might think that they're our natural rivals through hatred, but every single team in the league is our rivals. So I think they'll be looking at us thinking, but they've had a pretty measured win down.
We'll see. We need a lot of players to improve on last season and also show, like Mazraoui. I want to see the World Cup Mazraoui. Why do we not
but
see that?
We've also been buying players like Cesco, who we're expecting to kick on and turn into a world-beating striker, whether it's this year or next year. We're expecting to become a 25-30 goal season striker in our competitions, and what's to say that he doesn't make that jump this year? He could do. Why couldn't he go out there and score 30 goals for us? Now we're in the Champions League and stuff, and he's got more games, we have a better run in the League Cup and FA Cup. So I still think that we're not just looking at this window, we need to be looking at last window as well, because that's what this new regime are now going forward. So this window is in tandem with the last window. It isn't just an isolated window like a lot of teams were, what we've been doing for years and years and years, where it's just been
one random window, and we've got to judge it off that.
We should be judging off last year and then adding it to this year.
And that's
this
that,
is where
because
we are
last
now.
Season was all attacking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas this year is the midfield, and then you imagine next season
and the
when.
As well.
Yeah.
I agree with that, but I'm also, we have to be very aware that I get that money doesn't buy you. I'll ask you a question in a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
But that we have to admit that in one swoop, a rival can make that signing that we no longer can. That can game change them on. You know, like.
I know, but.
And we're not. So it's who we're competing with. I get that with what we have, this is as good as hopefully we can do if we get the striker. But in terms of the long term, with Manchester United, what we, you know, in terms of what we grew up with at Fergie, they go out and get, not saying Elliot Anderson, but we're not at the top table anymore. We know that. We know the reasons why we're not at the top table. But
do you not think that every single team in the Premier League would want Tielemans and Baleba in the team?
Yeah,
do you not think every team? Every
no,
club
not
in
every
Premier
team.
League?
Not every team. I would say, like, and it's not, I'm not doing a compare like
every
for
team
like.
I disagree.
They want him in the squad.
You're
mistaken that I'm not unhappy with what we're doing, but I'm saying in the bigger picture, if if we have one of those backward seasons again, we can get caught left behind. So this is why I say my ambition for this year is third or fourth Scabba Cup.
Well, we're not getting that.
If we do not get Champions League next season,
we're not going to get Champions League.
Well, then we're fucking.
But do you not think when you're saying about us not being top of the table, that we're in the position we are now because we try to be when we're signing ridiculous signings like Sanchez and Di Maria and making these Ronaldo back, which has fucked us up for years after.
When Rice was available, that's the player I want to be in.
But did he want to come?
Well, that's,
if he wants to go to Arsenal, then there's nothing you can do, man. That's another good thing that we're only signing players that actually want to come.
I'm glad we didn't get Fernandes because he didn't want to come. But there's going to come a point when the next player.
It can be as good as you. It could be the best player in the world, but if they don't want to be there, then it means nothing. We saw that with Di Maria. I'm not saying he was the best player in the world, but he was up there.
Yeah, but it also saddens me that we've gone from Steve Bruce walk on broken glass to now, you know, and that's not United in terms of endemic about Fernandes would rather take Spurs' money. You know, how sad is that? Well, Watkins, I'm really disappointed in Watkins going to Saudi. You know, I'm not, as Albert said to me, Dad, you'd take that, wouldn't you? So, you know, like, but just, anyway.
If they don't want to sell him to us, then it's also a different thing as well, isn't it?
Hello, Kieran.
Hello, Brian.
How are you feeling?
A bit up and down, to be honest. After last week, it was a bit of a kick in the teeth. Like, I've maybe not been as down on the window as a few others. I said to a mate the other day, part of the problem with the way we used to do business was before, we used to do it in the media all the time, and it'd be back briefing and Woodward talking shit and blah, blah, blah. And now, actually, because of the way they do things, which is keeping it on the quiet, you basically are reliant.
I love that.
Totally, but you're reliant on outcomes. So basically, you have this like 4 or 5 week gap where we're not signing anyone, and everyone's losing their mind. And I agree with Nathan in the sense that I'm sure we're all on the same page, and that we're playing for the sins of the past. And like, it's going to take a little bit longer. You see with the Rashford situation, it's going to take a while to unpick things and like start from scratch. And actually, on the point Nathan made again, like, we just want players who are going to be here. And I actually think that's where they're starting to filter that out. They're getting the right players in. Tielemans, by all accounts, was to McGinn the other day, is a top professional, has apparently wanted to play for United for a long time. Obviously, we've been linked with him for a long time. Belaba, look, I mean, he had a bad season last season, but you can argue that it was because his head was turned by us last year, I hope, anyway. And like, if you look at, you know, Ineos have done a lot of bad things, we all know, but I think transfer-wise, if you look at the business so far, it's been more hits than misses. Dorgu, I know it's a bit raw, but like Mbeumo, Cunha, Lammens, you know, obviously the stuff this year will prove to be, you know, however it will go. But I feel a little bit more positive on that side of things. I think it's just frustrating because it reminds me of like old Arsenal, where we go into a season a day late and a dollar short, and like we can't do it all in one window, but we need two new fullbacks as far as I can see, and a striker who's been apparent for a very long time. That you look at Spurs, is that the right way to do it and go about splashing the money? Like, God knows, but I think, you know, we're slightly short, but I'm hopeful enough to, like, what killed me about last week was it was like a film you've seen 1,000 times. You don't start at the pitch that you need to in these games, and then we struggle.
What do you put it down to?
I honestly don't know, and actually, I think it might be a little like that one last week reminded me a little bit, although the game was slightly different, of Leeds at home last year, where we just couldn't get a foothold in the game. And then suddenly you're on the back foot, it doesn't seem like he can actually change things from tactically on the bench. But don't get me wrong, he's done some really good things tactically too. But I don't know if it's like the World Cup hangover. I feel like a lot of teams are going to be beating each other for the first few weeks. Like, I saw that.
Yeah, there's he's young as well. There's a lad who's written, who's a Borough season ticket holder, who gives pros and cons to him. But he has managed a lot of games, perversely, because of the Championship. But he's still 275 games. We're here. I wasn't against it. I was for it.
Yeah.
But you've got a manager who's, you know, managed how many games in the Premier League?
Yeah.
30, 40, you know, like,
yeah.
So that is a raw, when you're coming against, how do you change this? How do you adapt? And that's the one the Borough made the point. He's, the adaptation has to be better, because he said teams were finding him out by the first half.
That was what frustrated me. Actually, if you remember that Leeds game at home last season, we were all tearing our hair out with why subs weren't made earlier and stuff like that. And it just feels a little bit like, I don't know. Remember, everyone was kind of bigging up the coaching team around him when it started, Woodgate and Holland and stuff like this, and it was going really well. but I don't know if there's someone there. If we need someone to be out here, we need to.
I hope Holland. What about Rashford? Where do you?
I just want him gone now. At this stage, I'm tired of the whole soap opera around it. I'm sure everyone is. He needs a fresh start.
He's not going though.
Well, yeah, like my hope is, you know, going back to the point of doing business in public, is that they're all trying to keep their powder dry so that it doesn't look like Rashford is an unsellable asset and it doesn't look like he's kicking off in the media to, like, set to buying clubs. And I would hope. The thing is, the Gakpo thing yesterday blew my mind because it was like 85 million quid. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I know the contracts and everything. But, that, I mean, yeah, leaving just, aside the obvious
yeah, but the fees this
it,
summer is are just... Actually, I can't get my head... It's like I almost think there's a conspiracy going on. Because it's... No, but it's like every day there's a really weird big transfer going on.
Yeah, and it's often between
two teams are doing business
with each
other.
The Chelsea Villa one was a bit weird, yeah.
I'm joking, of course.
Honestly, there's some accounting fuckery going on there. But look, I think Rashford, look, he's... I don't know if he's going to stay. I hope, frankly, that he doesn't, because I just think we all need to draw a line under it. And he was good, actually, last week. He kind of was lively, and I'm hoping that's all part of him trying to keep his, well, be a good professional, but you just never know. And look, we're not swimming in options. The reality is, Cunha, to me, seems a more natural number 10 than on the left. And I think, actually, we're lacking a lot of pace, and I don't know Rashford necessarily has an enormous amount, but... I'm tired of our kind of that options off the left a little bit. I just feel like it needs,
I love Mbeumo. If Mbeumo's chance goes in, I do think that could be game. It would draw the game. Mbeumo finished last season really badly, then scored on the last day, didn't he, at Brighton? I think if he's like at it, just get a win, calm the nerves. Yeah. You know. Anyway, let's do predictions because these lot are going to do it after, and I'm going to get Ben on and that. I'm going for 3-0 today, and calm the nerves. I hope there's a few, you know, not just a stand up if you hate the Glazers, but I thought that, as I said last week, the sign was bang on. Thanks everyone who has kept the mag going, and I can't be anyone else but myself. I can't be you and you can't be me, but we do our bit to try and fight.
Yeah, in terms of predictions, I think we'll go 2-1. I think it'll be tight. I think Ipswich are a decent side. I think they're recruited well. And they gave us a bit of a scare here last time they were up as well, if you remember. So, look, it's all things change. I think we might go behind a 2-1. Anyway, 3 points off the mark.
And the rain?
Obviously rain, yeah, of course. Well, I'm praying for you and selling. You know, rain.
That's why we're here a little bit,
yeah. I'm going to go for a really dull and boring 2-0 win.
2-0. I'd take 19 dull and boring home wins, mate.
It's worrying, isn't it, that we're going into the first home game and we're like, we need to win this game against Ipswich. Because if we don't...
No, the shit hits.
But I do think we will.
I've got a Nick-like spreadsheet for the whole of the season, which is matches, travel, mag-wise. And I said to old Paul on the train up, so this potentially is 65 games in it, Paul. And he just neck like an ostrich went, what the fuck are you on about? I said, but that's if we get through every competition and end up playing next June. And he just tutted and he was like, at least it won't be a 40 game season, eh?
Would you like a nice omen, by the way?
Yes.
I know, and I'm very confident when I say this, Man United are going to be in the European Cup final this year. I know that. Do you know why?
Why?
Because, do you know what happened the last time that we had a Spanish team that we played in Europe that were hosting the European Cup final, either in the Europa League or the Champions League? United made the final both times. And who's hosting the final of the European Cup this time around? Atletico Madrid. And we've also been drawn against them. And every time that's happened, United have got to the final in the European Cup competition. So book it and get your hotels on free cancellation.
You know,
because we're going all the way.
This is the weird, man. I just thought, I hope we don't have a playoff. I hope we finish in the top eight. I don't want a playoff.
But we'll keep the end up. Actually, on that point, my mum reminded me last night, my first game was United 9, Ipswich 0, March 5th, 95. So, another night. I'll go 9-0. I'll change my prediction, actually.
But that's,
I've
mentioned that a lot. But that's the classic United story of leaving the ground and the bloke goes, yeah, but I wish it had been 10. Because we always moan and want more. And rightly so. Cheers, everyone.
We're seldom Scott.
Ben's just come out with the younger generation as a dig in my face. Right, Ben's a lovely lad. Zayden, Ben's done loads for this mag, and I just said, like, the interview I did, if you've not seen it on YouTube, but the right kind of YouTube interview is the most, like, I'm a nobody, but it just, I've never felt, like, happier with how something's come out about how what United means to me. Anyway, I've waffled enough. It is now outside. There is a bit of blue sky in the background, but it has, after a summer of 30 degrees, 30 degrees, 28 degrees, 27 degrees, literally the moment I've arrived at my spot, it's pissed on me. I'm wearing shorts for the second time ever.
Colourful socks.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, mate.
How do you feel?
So-so, mate, so-so. As happy as you are to see that the team back everything, it's just the whole story's been a bit of a kick in the bollocks for fans again, hasn't it? But the club off the field activities from the club again. Regarding ticketing, the more and more the years go on, the more and more you don't feel valued anymore. And I'm thinking, and then obviously we've had conversations about a new stadium, and I'm thinking, who's going to fill this new stadium? Do they actually even want the younger generation in Zayden as well, as a season ticket holder? They seem to don't want anybody these days. They just, I don't know, mate.
No,
as happy as I am that they're back on the field.
The culture, seeing it, like we set up about 20 minutes ago, and seeing people, everyone's saying thank you for that. Do you have a good summer, mate?
Not bad.
We're back. George Retton today.
We've got to fucking win.
Yeah, I've got to win. 3-0 on
game. Same mistakes they're doing.
Yeah.
Against all.
Well, defending a corner would be bloody nice. 3-0 today, though. We're going to be, football-wise, we're going to be, seeing pacing, it's so complicated, isn't it? And it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be. It's like, and then they spy on people's IP addresses as well. So what gives them the right to do that?
But this
isn't that your private property?
We'll never get explanations. But say it was done. It was done at Hotel Football. Say today everyone download into their wallets or whatever. How many people would you have in Hotel Football's IP address?
Yeah.
Accessing tickets today, through any. Just because everyone's got here and gone, oh, did I download it to my wallet all right? And
you've got the long process and then going to appeal. And then when it goes to appeal, I'll take over. When it goes to appeal, it's like, well, how come we're not sitting in front of the people that are deciding on the fates and the futures of the people that they're trying to ban or not ban? Surely we've got a right to see that person, see that panel in face. Yes, I know it's going to possibly be a lot of supporters you're going to have to do that by, but surely for those that want to go, that want to see that panel in face, in person, and to be told what the charges are, basically. What are you guilty of? What are we guilty of? Do you know what I mean? Where's the evidence? Why can we not see the evidence? Why are you just sending generic emails out that are done by AI or done by whoever? You know, what? At least explain to fans what's going on, what's the problem is and everything, and then have the balls to face them face to face. Do you know what I mean? That's the biggest thing that I think is wrong with the whole situation, is that it's all done behind faceless, people, that are deciding somebody's future, and it's not right, I don't think. But that's my rant over anyway for the ticketing side of things. I'm just glad that United are back. It's starting to rain again. But it is what it is. Barney's selling, Nick's selling. Well, Nick's actually on his phone looking pretty as always. But yeah.
Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Barney's back now. He can.
But
do you know what I mean? I was just saying there about when it comes to facing your sanctions. These people are deciding. Why can't you sit in front of them?
Do you know, first game of the season, you come here, And it should totally be 1,000% just focused on winning.
The team,
first
home
game.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're here for.
But and it just feels like that. Yeah. Like you're not wanting, and then you're thinking, are they going to fill this 100,000 seats? They know what they want.
But we're not wanting them. We are not wanted.
No, we're not. No. And then I think to the next generation, like my son, it's like because he he's disabled and he's under 16. I handle his account. I was expecting them to.
Happy new season.
Prediction.
3-2.
Oh, bloody hell. I don't think my heart could handle that.
And we'll be behind at some stage.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You had a good summer, Chris.
Yeah, very good.
Apart from United doing our heads in, yeah, no, but it is. That's it. It's great to be back. But
see you around, Barney.
See you, Chris.
As I was saying, though, Barney, it's like you look at it now. It's like I handle two, obviously my account and Zane's account, and I'm surprised mine's not been pulled up in that, like handling multiple accounts. But you know what it is like.
Sorry, I'll just pause and then we'll come back. But as I said, as you know, just for our human psyche, we can't just spend 100% of the time moaning, can we, Ben?
No, of course not.
And we've just had a couple of off things where people are, you know, like that bond, that community they're pissing on. We're seeing each other and we're smiling at each other. So, football-wise, are we over last week and it'll all just be...
Yeah, over last week. I was a little bit disappointed. I think, hindsight, if I did that part of my pod half an hour later, I probably would have calmed down a little bit, you know. You're just raw emotion after the game, you know. It's just have we learned how to break a low block down every time? Every time we can never. And the one player we have got, he wasn't starting the game. You think Cobby Maynard? Yes, he's not had a lot of pre-season. Fair play.
I wouldn't put the two signings in. I would have gone Kobe. I would have gone Martinez and Maguire. But hindsight, let's see. Be interesting. Let's see.
I'm confident.
The Wes Brown interview in the mag is really good. I had a quick chat with him in May, but he says, if you had a bad game, you know, I know in a halcyon period, then how do you, not the manager, not how do you reply?
Respond,
so,
yeah.
You know, so. All right, but, okay.
I'm pretty confident today. I'm going 3-0.
Oh, 2-3-0. Zayden?
2-1.
2-1. Right, no swearing.
No swearing time.
No pint slammed. No, I don't want a neck and nape for none of that. Let's just be happy.
Let's be happy,
and
yeah.
In the next week, United, sort yourselves out. Okay, I might not be able to do something unless something spectacular happens in the next 2 hours. But seriously, like, just as an aside, I know, like, we just record as we feel, like that's it. It's just feeling. So, like someone said, you sound so miserable, and I don't. I'm not. There's always hope. See it on the arm. But yeah, just making this to be here for the 40th year. Like,
that's the main thing. The 40th year,
so
Barney.
Much.
So
and
special that.
And we're just a mere blip on the universe, but in there a fucking great blip on the universe. Take care of yourselves, Reds. Up the fucking Reds, because all we want to do is just be happy about our team. Okay? All right. See you later, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to the PEV. After we've just thrashed Ipswich 5-2. I'm going to start with Barney's notes nice and quickly before I go to the gang, because it's nice to be reunited with everybody. Barney's thoughts were, enjoyed the last 60 minutes, so many grew into it. Rashford tried, mainly showed what minutes do, and I love Mbeumo Nkrumah, who, yes, Nick, wasn't great, he wasn't. Bruno Unreal, we needed that. Love that the rain came after, not before. The swag seller was suddenly selling brollies to everybody afterwards. Everyone supported the mag today. We sold out, by the way, which is great. Thank you very much. And Bruno's one-man mission, basically, to just fuck up the goalkeeper after he tried it on with that penalty. That was my point, Barney, but I'll let it slide. Enjoy your bank holiday, Reds. Going to go round the table to the group, and I'll start with somebody that's slightly more sensible than the rest of people. Because Nathan and I have already had a little bit of that. I was looking at Riaz. It's easy to pass it round. Hey, Paul. Welcome. First off, very quickly, how was your summer? And what did you think of today?
Summer was fine, thank you. I do hibernation mode in summer, where I preserve energy and finances for all this bullshit.
That's what happened when you bought €4 away.
I thought today we started off, like, first half an hour was just like, oh my god. They just weren't at it again, were they? but I am saying this, I've had a drink today. But second half, they were really good. They were like really alert. Everything that they weren't last week, where they're like, there's focus, there's concentration, there's kind of a collective sort of willingness to sort of actually win football matches. And they looked, they were at it today. They were picking up all those, like, they were first to all the challenges, and they were winning the vast majority of the challenges. Thought Mainu was really, really good. I've got an issue with Marcus Rashford, and I'm going to try not to focus on it too much over this season.
He tried today. I thought he put himself, he actually cared. But was it,
and in fairness, is he trying to leave? Is he trying to stay at Hull, where you've got a couple of players looking decidedly top heavy and not, you know, you could do a losing out of Sterling, quite frankly. He looks in good nick. I just don't want to get into it. Basically, mate, he shouldn't be anywhere near me. I don't like him, and I don't like the fact that he's at United. I'm not sure what kind of reception he got. I was quite dismayed last week when he was warming up at our time, and after people in that away end are clapping him, and I've got beef with him. I've got long-standing beef, and it's not going to go away.
Hey, do you think?
I think.
Just on the Rashford angle. On the Rashford. Well, that's what these are about. These things. On the Rashford angle, he looked disengaged from the other players, though. So he still looked like he was like, "I'm separate. I'm nothing to you lot." Felt like the whole game. There was Rashford on the left, yeah. I know he's way on the left, but even when we were scoring goals, he didn't seem to be that engaged in it. All. So I'm with you. I hate him. Yeah. Anyway, Kobe. How good was he? Best player on the pitch.
Yeah, he was mustard today. He was really, really good.
Best player on the pitch, even better than Bruno.
Yeah.
With a hat trick and an assist. Yeah, 100%. Throwing it out there.
No, just throwing it out there.
I thought they were both great.
I wouldn't have sold Fernandes, you see. And we didn't do.
This is why we start with Paul and we work our way around.
Me looking over at Riaz doesn't work on a podcast, does it?
I wouldn't have bought Fernandes and we didn't.
But he wanted to 2 years ago. 2 seasons ago he wanted to sell him.
To be fair, Nathan said that he wanted to sell him at one stage, but we'll move on from that.
I
thought he was brilliant.
I would have sold him this summer, but this is just me. That's the main
thing that I would. But we didn't.
But we didn't. I would have sold him just to get the 100 million if that was attainable and address other glaring areas in the squad.
I would rather keep Bruno Fernandes because, let's be quite frank, and I would die on the hill, he's the best player in the Premier League by a mile.
Is he though?
It's not even close, Paul. It's not even close. The competition is nowhere near. He's on his own level. It's up there as one of the best footballers in the world right now. Absolutely brilliant.
I know, but is recency bias coming into this? Because
he had
a stellar season last year, Nick. But I do. There's been years, like four of the last five seasons. It's on. People will lose. People have lost sight of this because he had such a great year last year. But there has been times where he's a little bit of a liability as well at times when he's not having a great game. And last season he had more great games than poor games. But there has been seasons where his form has dipped and he's basically just fucking all over the shop and literally picking the ball up. And nine times out of ten, he's just trying something out of desperation and just giving the ball away too liberally. And whereas what United did need then was a little bit of conservatism in that midfield to just try and retain possession. And that's what I think has been lost. I know he's a fantastic player, and if you look at the goals and assists over the course of the season, but it's not all about that. It's about general play as well. And I just think there's a bit of recency bias. If you look at his entire United career, there's been years where he's been a little bit of a liability as well. I'll say no more than that, because it's all about people's interpretation. But put it this way, prior to the start of last season,
when he was being spoken about as being like Saudi is sniffing about his market value is £100 million, I would have ripped their hands off for that.
So, again, playing devil's advocate, what's your thoughts on Andy Mitten ranking him as the 25th greatest ever footballer for Man United?
25th ever?
Ever.
No, I think that's way off.
There you go.
We'll move on.
I'd
put him higher.
I mean, we've scored 5 goals today. Can we talk about that? That was nice. We're not being positive, because we were very negative.
Well, I still think that Mainu was the best player on the pitch. Yeah. 100%. He was strong. His feet is so... And that's the thing. The mad thing is, even though last season he was arguably our best player for that second half of the season. Like, I know that Bruno was great, but Mainu, when he was back in the team, he's class. He's great. And like you said, when we put it in the group, like, why wasn't Amorim seeing it? Why doesn't Tuchel see it? But today, it's mad that he has a point to prove in the squad now, doesn't it? His position isn't certified. Isn't, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
Well, not starting last week.
It's not guaranteed every week, is it?
But
then maybe that's a good thing, that it perks, it means that everyone has to be, like, for the last few years, if you've not got 2 people per position, you get lazy, because you know you've not got, so if it means that he's got to be at his very best every time he's playing, then great. But he was superb.
And he's got some good competition, let's face it, in that role now. Because, I mean, Tielemans was hit and miss. He had some great moments and some bad moments today.
Whereas I thought, Tielemans, he didn't do much going forward, but he was steady. He was that person who, I thought he was fine.
I think
everyone got there.
Yeah, everyone did some good bits and some bad bits. Like, you know, so it was. I still think the major thing that's going to hold us back this season is the 2 fullbacks. I'm very concerned about Shaw. I think he started the season.
Well, he was at fault for their goal.
Yeah, he was. And then shortly after that, within minutes after that, Dallow got the equal as well. And it was for pace, which is concerning, because I think Dallow's actually one of his best attributes. He's actually fine.
And I did find it quite telling that the first 2 subs that we made was replaced.
As I said, that's a Barney's thing. Yeah, so it's got to be a statement to send it out there.
That is not a title winning back four, is it?
No, but you've got to remember, as we were making before the game, the point is that last season we rejuvenated the forward line. This year's been the midfield, and next year's going to be the defence. You know what it's going to be. And that's okay. And that's why it's kind of we're not sitting there thinking that this is going to be a title winning team. I don't think we'll make the Champions League this year, and I still think that's okay even if we don't get that. Because I still think we need another striker. We can't play if you've not got someone that's Sesko and you've got that focal point that's in there. I think we'll get found out a lot with that this year. So I don't expect us to make the Champions League. That's okay. Next year, once we've bought back 4 and we've completed this renovation, that's when I'll be thinking we should be starting to mark this title charge under this ownership.
At that point, you've got to start rebuilding the front line.
I disagree with that, because that's why you buy the players on your side. And that's why you look at Santos, Mainu, and Belaidi. They're all 22. So, and you look at Reynolds, what, 26, he's a similar sort of age. Sesko's 22. You don't need to start building that. That's okay. So that's why I think that we're in a good stage of where it's at. You know, this is like, I was today.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, second half is obviously much better than the first.
Yeah, well, from 40 minutes onwards. Yeah, really.
I just thought out wide near a bit short.
Yeah,
we
need to leave,
sir. Okay. Ross. Sorry.
Sorry.
Come on, Riaz.
Yeah, and you enjoy today. Scoring 5 goals was good. I only saw 4 of them, and then the rain came, but it was good. And I know this season is going to be difficult with the European competitions, and we'll probably play a lot more than 40 games. So when you win, enjoy it, which is what we're doing now. But yeah, no complaints.
Yeah, I'm happy. I thought it was the first half. I was dreading what was to come as when they scored, because I was like, here we go again. But the best thing I thought with today is once we started scoring, we just kept trying to score. They kept going, didn't they? Like, Bruno was trying to, like, he tried to score from the halfway line. Like, I don't know how many how many hat tricks he scored in his. But it was almost like he's never scored four. He was like, I want to score four. He was being greedy, and it's like, I don't mind it. You know, it was good. So.
I thought we looked okay, but it was Ipswich, wasn't it? And we've got some tough games coming up.
Yeah. So, thank you. But like I said, we won today. We know there's tough games coming up. And, you know, when we win, enjoy it. But we still today. And like I said, Nathan, we just kept going for it.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me. Once we were scored, you know, they wanted to get five. They wanted to get six. That you know, I'd have loved it if we could have done, but they didn't sit back and go, we've won now.
It was an entertaining game as well. And yeah. We've seen some rough.
Yeah.
You know, this time last year, horrendous.
I thought,
and back onto this time last year with that manager. You know, I'm with a lot of people who think that Maynard was man of the match. I thought it was fantastic. He would conceivably have been sold for 15 million quid under Emery.
I know.
And it's been absolutely calamitous.
I thought Rashford was.
Do you know what? I was wondering about the reception he got, and actually, no one did anything until they saw him. And I thought he rolled his sleeves up, and I saw him in the first half. He took on the defender, which I think is always great, and he didn't get by him. The ball was nicked. He chased it back.
He got
the ball back. I haven't seen Rashford do that for years. So I thought, you know what?
That's all you can hope for. Yeah. Isn't it? Like, obviously, you want him to go on and score.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to, at least chase it back.
Rashford of 2-3 teams would have just left it.
My only thing is, please do that in 4 months' time.
Yeah, yeah.
In 5 months' time. Yeah. Not just your first game back at Old Trafford. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he could have done anything more today.
I thought, you know, fair play to him. He had one chance where I think he had a shot and it was saved. I'd have loved him to score today. I would have loved him to score today.
His body language was better today. You could see he was making that extra attack and that extra effort. But like you say, he's got to be doing that in 4 months' time, just because it's the first day.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I think you're right. His body language was good, but his attitude as well. He would just head down, get on with the game, and he weren't playing to the fans or anything like that.
No,
he looked good today.
But like I say, let's see where we're at in 4 months' time.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be back. Right. Sorry. Apologies before Nathan rudely interrupted you. Basically, we're just talking about the same points.
Exactly, I've never said the points. We're just saying,
but you can say them again, because it's still nice to hear them from your perspective.
I just thought Rashford as a wide player didn't take on the fullback enough, especially when we were dominant in the second half.
And he gave the ball away when he did, though.
Yeah.
That, and I think that got him there. Because he did it twice in the first half, lost the ball, and then didn't do it again.
I thought our fullbacks and wide players want to do a bit more. You know, Ipswich, sure, we dominated the second half, but the tight games against your Arsenals, your Cities, Liverpool, you know, we need to be better.
Yeah.
First half was disappointing. I mean, luckily their mistake led to our goal, so they got us back in at a 1-1. I think 1-0 down might have been a little bit of pressure second half, but then 1-1, and then we got the second one, make it 2-1, sort of got the momentum. But it's not always going to be like that, and I just think some players, got to contribute a bit more. The same. Rashford, to me, has got to, when we're dominant at home, he's got to do a bit more for me.
I think it's funny because everyone's like giving him such a good reception last week at home, and then he got a good reception today. There's no question that he got a good reception today. And I was just thinking, well, this is the year now, isn't he, really?
I mean, he's a World Cup player. He's got to take on players. He's got to, you know, he's got to be a main man now. Otherwise, I mean, you'd be better off trying to cash in if you can.
You just wonder, don't you? Because he put himself about today.
Yeah, he did.
I can't say that he didn't sit there and didn't try. I just don't think he's up to what we need him to be. And that's all right, because those are players, aren't they? But he gets a bit of a free pass being a local lad.
Yeah.
But is he trying hard because he wants to go?
Yeah.
Is he just trying hard because he's trying to prove a point?
Yeah. Difficult, yeah.
We don't really know, so.
No, I just don't think he did enough. always said the same thing at half time, just not creative enough. You know, we had a bit of possession in the first half, but we never really looked like we didn't create many chances. I mean,
well, we didn't create anything in the first half. Lampard had done three saves, exactly. And we were 1-0 down before exactly. We'd had a shot.
Exactly. And the shot, said, the guy fell over, and then we broke away. Yeah, yeah. And then scored.
So. Dive football and a bit of luck, and you know,
exactly. We didn't create chances and stuff like that. Bit of neat play and neat possession, but not creating chances. Can you remember the keeper making a save in the first half? No, their keeper.
Just put the ball up, isn't it? Once, didn't he?
One goal and that was it. So, yeah. Great to win. Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be too critical. You win 5-2, you don't want to play too much, but I have serious reservations because, you know, there's some good sides out there, and I just worry that we. Yeah, it's an attacking threat.
Where do you think we'll finish this year?
After two games, I will say we will finish
seventh.
Not bad. Because I sense there's a rebuttal there.
Why?
Because you look. Wait, wait, because you look very, very disagreeable with that.
I think they'll end up fourth. I think they'll rally through and they'll end up fourth. I don't know they'll win. There'll be any winning, but I think they'll scrap for fourth.
I'll tell you why. I'll say we finished third last season. We had no European football. With European football, I don't think the squad's good enough. And I think that will mean we'll finish seventh, and I think someone like Chelsea, Liverpool, I think will finish above us. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I am a little bit always on the pessimistic side, but we did finish 15th under Emirin, and no one predicted that, so I'm a bit like...
I'm a little bit concerned, if I'm being honest with you, and before the season started, and these lot were test for it, that it wouldn't surprise me if we finished 10th or 12th this year. Because I think the point's valid, and I think that Newcastle were a good example last year where, you know, they had nothing and they got European football. They then got European football and finished in the bottom half. I can see that kind of thing happening. I don't see any evidence from the first two games where we played two teams that are newly promoted and after two matches we've conceded four goals. That's massively concerning. We've got a goal difference of +1 after two matches when you play those two teams. If someone had told me that, I'd sat there thinking, I'm incredibly worried about that. I am. Now, the worrying thing for me, as we were just discussing, is we still need two new fullbacks. And until we get that position addressed, which is, I would say, is as important as a centre midfielder in modern football these days, the way they get up and down and have to defend. If you look at the way that Liverpool won league titles with Trent and Robertson, if you look at the way that City won league titles with whether they've had it left back throughout the years, they have multiple ones with Cancelo and Kyle Walker and stuff like that. They've been the teams that have dominated, and we don't have that, and that's the major thing for me. So I think we're too leaky at the back. I still think we're going to concede 50. If not 60 goals in the league, and if you concede that many, you're not going to finish in the Champions League spots again. I mean,
you've got to look also at Baez. I mean, you've got to get them right. I mean, Lenny Yoro, it's his third season now, isn't it? And we spent like 50 million on him, and he's got a first choice.
Yeah, but I don't mind that, because I still think for next year he can still come in and overtake where Maguire is at the moment. I think he needs to just bulk out a bit more, and I think on that as well, it's like a look at like Lammens as well. He's come back from the summer and he looked like he'd bulk town.
What about left back? Who would you think we should go for? I mean, Lewis Hall's not
there. I'm not paid to make these decisions. Yeah, I have no idea. There's a guy from Leipzig that's quite good.
I'd probably
sign the guy, to be honest, that was playing for Ipswich today, because I thought that he scored, and you know, and he's a mank as well. So that's what my plan was. I'm gonna have to flip over here because we're already going over time here, and I've got one more guest to cut to. I've got to cut to my favourite one of all. And she's dreaded this, I know she is, but I have to get my mum on, because mum's decided to make an appearance as well today. And without her, I wouldn't be selling Red News, and without this, she probably wouldn't be here in a podcast. So there you go. And she's been in the posh seats today and has a nice story about the posh seats.
Oh yeah, do you want to know?
I'd love to know your story about it. Everybody else would love to know the story about the posh seats as well, because we've gone on a big rant about that already, so it's nice to hear real experience.
So I was sitting with somebody in the south stand, just in front of the director's box, just about pretty much on the halfway line, on a nice red plastic seat.
Sorry, Man United.
But next to these lovely plastic seats, which are very nice, were the padded red seats. And the guy who was sitting on the next seat had apparently paid, I think it was 320 something quid for his ticket.
And just for context, what did you pay for yours?
47.
I know you're technically down as a pension.
I am an over 65. Still, I mean, still it was over 65, right?
Still,
that's very true.
But, I mean,
I don't know how much that gets you.
Not that much. Not that much.
But he'd got a meal in a pub up the road and then nothing at half time, and then he'd had to find his way to Old Trafford.
Unbelievable. With no direction and no help. I feel so sorry for these people.
I'm not so sure. Well, he'd had a good day, I think, and his daughter was well made up. She'd been to the next door and got a shirt, so I think they probably.
And it's a sad indictment of modern football as well. Have you enjoyed today though? Because I don't think you went that much last season. Don't really.
I went to 4 matches last season.
That's not bad, right? Okay. And you're going to eventually beat that already this year, because I think you've got 4 tickets already sorted for the opening.
Yeah, I'm going to City.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'm very excited by that.
Even based on the fact we played 2 relegation fodder teams so far, conceded 4 goals already.
I know. I could see positive signs today, but they started really well. They went into a bit of a lull, but then once that guy slipped, it was like opened the door, didn't it? And after that,
that Steven Gerrard slipped from years ago, where it was like, can't let this slip. That was a good moment.
It changed the match, to be fair.
Who impressed you today, other than obviously
Cobbe?
Yeah.
Love him. He was great. I thought Martinez was good. I felt really sorry for him because he was mad with himself, wasn't he, when he let that second goal?
Yeah.
So I felt sorry for him because he thought he played well. And I was ready to be mad at him after the thing at the World Cup.
After the World Cup, yeah.
I was ready to be mad at him, but he did.
I thought he was outstanding. Like, I know he made that mistake at the end, and that's, I mean, it's alright when you're 5-1 up and you do it, fair enough, but I thought he was brilliant today.
You know,
I
have a problem with goal difference.
Yeah, and to be plus 1 after you've played 2 relegations.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, yeah, but I had a good day, and I loved it. Good.
And you're in the pad as well?
No.
See, my mum in the pad's always weird. It's always weird, isn't it? It's always weird.
No.
Under a picture of Matt Busby as well.
I know,
no
looking at Matt, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You had a good day.
I had a great
day. And United won.
It's
a rare one, isn't it?
Exactly that.
I'll do a round of hates of the week, and we can get out of there. Do you have any hates of the week? Anything annoyed you? Doesn't have to be football related.
The sport today, Tractor Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were dreadful. And I was actually mad at our supporters that they didn't try and drown them out. They let them make that noise, and that made me cross.
Yeah.
That made me really cross.
On that subject, I was thinking that Max are quite self-deprecating, and I was thinking it's a good chant to have. They were singing just a ground full of tourists, and I think that's what the Red Army should be starting on, you know, in Stretford End, the singing section.
Yeah,
we're just a ground full of tourists. They sing it ironically. I think that'd be quite funny.
No, they're
yeah, but that doesn't matter. We know it's shite, we know why it's shite. I'm just giving an example of why it's shite.
Once we started winning,
yeah.
I thought
the first 10 or 15 minutes, I thought that atmosphere in Old Trafford was as good as I've ever been.
Yeah.
I thought it was electric. And then, as you say, went into that mode. But we know why the atmosphere in Old Trafford's bad. We don't need to go into that. The fact that I can't try and move my seat to sit with my friends is just ridiculous. You know, so there's many reasons for Old Trafford atmosphere being bad. But you've got a singing section, and I think that they should be taking the piss, thinking they should be singing just a ground full of tourists. I think that'd be a great chant for them to sing, ironically. I do. I think they're quite funny. And it sends the message that if we can sing it, if you're singing it, we can sing it, and we can take the piss. It's like when teams sing Who the Fuck Man United, and then one of my favourite chants is when we sing Who the Fuck Man United. I love it when we sing that. I think it's great. So I like the idea of ironically singing.
I hear what you're saying, but I think they make too much noise, and they're allowed to make too much.
A lot of teams are going to be allowed to make too much noise if we have that back four keep making goals. Sadly. Where do you think we'll finish this year?
Top set.
Okay, that's positive. I'll leave that with you. No one else is saying that. Okay, very quickly. Any hates for the week before we go out of here?
I've got a fucking belter. You know these fancy new automated beer things?
Oh.
I walked up to it today. This is at half time. I said, what's going on here? I had someone direct me. You need to scan your phone. You go through. You sort of like do a pay on your card or your phone. Walk through the turnstile, just take what you want and you'll be billed for that. They fucking charged me £17.85 for two Cali.
It's mad that. We've got all these emails about what the club are going to do to try and improve the concourse and
so,
and the experience.
I've just sent them a very, very snotty email.
I'm sure that'll be well received. And Paul there, just with a big black mark next to your name now there. No waste for Paul this season.
They just set the piss, don't they? £17.85 for two fucking cars.
It's mad though, they spent all this money on the concourse and the only thing we've got in our bit is two new plasma screen TVs
I walked in this automated thing, right? I picked up two bottles and went, where's the glasses? And they just looked at me blankly and shook their head. So I had to go
to... the bottle account, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just bottles. I was like, where's the glasses? And he just looked at me and just went, And so I had to walk to the OG bar and say, have you got two glasses, please? Thankfully, I was given them and I wasn't charged.
So it wasn't a plastic bottle?
No, they were plastic bottles. Yeah.
Why did you need a glass for
them? Because I want to pour it into a glass. I'm not a Philistine, Nick.
Right, okay.
This is the biggest issue. This is the biggest issue that used to be addressed.
Well,
it does.
My hate of the week's on the same subject, which is why have they started allowing cans in the concourse? Because it takes longer for them to pour a can out and pour it in. Pop a bottle, put it down, and fuck off. That is what it should be at half time. Why are you pouring cans out of Doom Bar and doing all this? And
you're
Madry. If anyone drinks Madry, that's the hate of the week straight away. You never buy Madry ever. It's terrible. It's never seen Spain in its life. But why on earth are they buying cans and pouring
them out? How much is Carlin supposed to be in that shit show?
£5.95 I paid at half time.
£5.95? For one now?
For one.
So it should have been 12 quid.
So how much do they owe me?
Do the fiver.
The only fiver.
You basically could have got three for the price of two.
I'm fuming, Nick.
Yeah,
you know,
and you should be.
Well. I'm going to write to my MP next week.
Power to the people.
If I don't have a reply by Tuesday morning, I am taking this to the top.
Really cutting the real issues here on the podcast.
In the summer about people getting the season tickets taken off them. That's it now. I'm galvanised. I'm going for
it. Yeah, I can see it. I love it.
My hate of the week. Why did they run out of pies at the end of half time? It's like, do they not know how many people are in there?
I noticed this as well. I think this is Big Burger. Now that they're selling burgers, there's less pies, so people now have to spend £2 more on a burger.
But I wanted a pie with 2 minutes before the second half, and it sold out.
I'll give you a hot tip. I buy a pie before the game starts and keep it in my pocket throughout the first half, because when it's half time, it's still hot as fuck.
Yeah, but I don't know when I'm going to be hungry.
And that's a hot tip for the Red News crew there. Don't wait till half time to buy your pies.
We're going
to
get cancelled here. We're going to get cancelled for
70,000 people in there.
We're going to get cancelled. We're going to get cancelled for using the concessions.
I can see that. Yeah,
I can see it. This is going to go fucking go off on Twitter next week.
I've got no hate. It didn't rain until the end of the day. It could have been a lot worse. We won. That's it.
It could be worse. You could be scouse. Any other hates?
My hates, I tend to agree with Nathan. Scored five. Great lunch and Chorlton. All good. Yeah.
No hate.
Be positive. We'll be positive today.
Too long to get two waters. That's all.
Yeah.
All we wanted was some water before we went in. It was impossible.
It's because people are using cans and taking too long. Stop buying cans in the concourse, it takes too long. And on that note, to the regiment.
We need some fullbacks.
We need some fullbacks. Oh my god. To the regiment, we need fullbacks.
Right, it's half time, 1-1 against Ipswich, but we'll skate over that half of football and just leave. You fucking did it, mate.
Yeah, did it. Still in one piece, just about.
How was it?
Tough.
The Kilimanjaro trek.
Yeah, tough. It was 7 days of just sheer exhaustion, really.
Fair times.
Yeah, lack of sleep, altitude, capping altitude, constant walking. It was good to get it done.
You must be proud, though.
It's good to get it done.
There's a great video that I don't know, a bit of one of the Sherpas, singing Glory, Glory, Man United, and that was.
I kind of befriended him and he had me out at the end of it, me and I, and that's what I did at the end.
What was the hardest part, would you say?
Summit night was hard. We'd done the walk in the morning and then we had to summit that evening about midnight, so in the dark, minus 12, everything frozen solid. So all your water lines are solid frozen.
So this is for a vital charity. What's the total on now?
So it's for bowel cancer and it's on 7,200 at the moment.
Brilliant. And it's still going.
It's still open, yeah.
So I'll put a link in after this. Yeah. But well done, mate.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant.
It's Watch United. And to anyone who wants to do it, what would you say?
It's a good achievement to do it, but I certainly won't be going back to do that one.
But you're still doing the marching with the steps. That's helped you mentally, isn't it?
And we're looking at one next year as well. So.
All right, keep that in reserve. But well done from the summit.
Cheers, man.
Please donate if you can.
Cheers.
Manchester United 5, Ipswich Town 2, take 2, because my original recording, the Stretford End, did not save. What an absolute palaver. But anyway, Zayden, what do you think to that?
Good. That's right, because we came round here.
I'll tell you what, Kobi fucking Mainoo. Sorry, Barney, for swearing. Kobi Mainoo. United can't play without him. It's absolutely true what the chant says. You know, absolutely fantastic today. My man of the match. Zayden, who's your man of the match?
Kobi Mainoo.
Just absolutely fantastic today. Bruno obviously with a hat-trick hero. I thought Rashford played very, very well. And if he wants to know how to win the fans over, plenty of effort like that, please, Marcus, lad. Up and down, getting stuck in, and linking up with your teammates, getting some shots away as well. Absolutely fucking superb. Tielemans quietly decent as well, I thought, today. Tell you what, Luke Shaw, though, I'll have a little whinge about Luke Shaw, because for their first goal, he was caught absolutely napping. But, you know, whether we need to go in for another left back before Tuesday's window shuts, isn't it, 1st September, whether we could do something to bring a left back in, we may need to look at that possibility, because Shaw, again, beaten for pace. But back to the positives. Five goals for United. Cab Bruno hat-trick, Brian Aubameyang scoring again. I thought Aubameyang, couldn't you? And of course Rashford, I include Rashford in that triple wide plays, a triple attacks. But I thought they were superb today, absolutely superb, linking up well, interchanging with each other very, very well. But yeah, just hope now we can kick on. Got Everton away next weekend. Me and Zayden are going to that, so Barney might want a little snippet from us after that game as well. But it's our time to kick on and to move up the table. Our season starts today. That's where our season fucking starts. Starts today. As I said, this is take 2 because my previous one didn't say it, because I had had some stewards being rather rude to try and get a turf us out and it didn't save properly. So this is why we're doing take 2 as we walk in down the old United Road. As people are leaving very, very happy. So we apologise that we didn't get the you're not hearing the Stretford End and the cheering and the chanting for Bruno. Apologies for that. But yeah, saying Bruno, Mainoo, United can't play without you, United can't play without you, cause it's breaking my heart when you don't start, Mainoo. Excuse our X Factor type singing there, we're not going to win any awards for our singing, but yeah, I'm just overly happy, very, very happy with that one in the end. roll on Everton away next week. And as I said, our season starts now. Zayden, go Man United. To the regiment.
To the regiment.
Of the fucking Reds.
Of the fucking Reds.
Of the fucking Red News.
Of the fucking Red News.
Thank you for anyone that supported the mag today. In diabolical conditions as usual. Raining. So it's typical, it's been hot all summer long, and then the rain comes. As soon as we've been a paper-based product out. It was sunny before Barry turned up as well today, so sod's law, innit? But thank you for supporting Red News. Mags on selling it before City, before the Derby. And of course online for those that can't make it, please support Red News. To the fucking regiment, glory Man United, and we'll see you in the next one.